Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast number 43 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. In podcast episode number 42, I talked about how the short ball could be an effective shot to add to your repertoire, because when it comes to moving the opponent around the court, many players tend to lock in on just moving their opponents from side to side and often forget about moving the ball short and deep. Now, keeping with this theme of shot variety, I'd like to spend this podcast talking about the importance of varying the height of your shots. Now, similar to the discussion on utilizing the short ball, varying the height of your shots can also be an effective way to help keep your opponent from getting grooved and into a rhythm, and more importantly, allow you to take control of the point by making your opponent uncomfortable. Virtually all players, from weekend warriors to the professionals on tour, have so-called ideal strike zones or sweet spots, which are the player's preferred height and distance between themselves and the ball when they're ready to strike the ball. By the same token, many players have hitting zones where they prefer not to have the ball height and distance-wise from their body when striking the ball. For most players, the ideal height of their strike zones is typically around waist high. I mean, some players prefer to hit the ball up at chest or shoulder height, while others excel at striking a ball that is relatively low to the ground. Now, every person is built differently, and each possesses a different set of physical attributes and abilities. Some are tall, some are short, some have long arms, some have short arms, some have quick twitch muscles, some have greater flexibility, some can bend at the knees a little more and get down lower for the ball, some are just simply better athletes, and so on. Once you identify what your opponent's uncomfortable hitting zones are, you should start working the ball to those areas. Now, as I've discussed in previous podcasts, it's all about making your opponent uncomfortable, and that does not necessarily require hitting every ground stroke at 100 miles an hour. At one of the clubs where I play, there are two ladies who are solid 4.0 level players. Let's call them Stacy and Nancy. Now, each of these players has a very obvious and preferred strike zone. Stacy loves to have the ball at shoulder height on her forehand side. She will unload huge forehands whenever she gets that high bouncing ball to her forehand side. I mean, any ball hit with moderate speed and topspin bouncing around shoulder height to her forehand will almost always get obliterated. The aggression and confidence with which she hits that high forehand are off the charts. However, on balls that are around or below waist level, much of that aggression and confidence, well, gets muted. Thus, an effective tactic to employ against Stacy is to vary the height of the ball, mixing in a steady diet of slices, chips, and flat shots that stay low and out of her strike zone. Now, Nancy is just the opposite of Stacy. Nancy's ideal strike zone for both forehands and backhands is actually a very low ball. She loves to hit ground strokes off of balls that are very low, literally right off of her shoe tops. Similar to Stacy, Nancy hits her ground strokes with unabated aggression and enormous confidence when the ball is in her strike zone. So tactically, a lot of Nancy's opponents try to beat her by looping a lot of balls high bouncing and deep into the court. This forces Nancy to either hit the ball on the rise before it could bounce up high, or retreat well behind the baseline to allow the ball to drop low and into her strike zone. Now, neither option is ideal for Nancy. Hitting the ball on the rise is, well, out of her comfort zone and is not something she does well. And if she elects to retreat to allow the ball to drop low and into her strike zone, she then finds herself well behind the baseline and in a vulnerable court position. Folks, whether it's varying the height of the ball or, as I've talked about in podcasts 26 and 42, utilizing the offensive chip shot and short ball, it all centers around taking control of the point and making your opponent uncomfortable. A key takeaway from these discussions is that you do not always have to hit shots with blistering pace to take control of a rally and put your opponent on edge. You can achieve this effect by understanding your opponent's strengths and weaknesses and making prudent shot selections. Now, many players get grooved on simply hitting their, well, stock shots and disregard other shots and skills they may have in their arsenal. Now, again, I talked about something similar in podcast 42 regarding moving the opponent around the court. Many players tend to think of only the side-to-side or east-west areas of the court and forget about utilizing the short balls and making the opponent move forward and backward or to the north and south areas of the court. Now, I see a similar shortcoming when it comes to utilizing the height of the ball. It's no wonder many players often find themselves in tougher matches and dogfights than expected. So as you prepare for your future matches, consider the tactic of changing up the height of your shots to make your opponent uncomfortable. Vary the height, win the fight. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.